What's up, world? Welcome to the Positive Truth, uplifting and positive news for a more progressive society. Tim, what are we trying to bring?
Here at the Positive Truth, we're trying to bring awareness, empowerment, inspiration, optimism, and understanding to communities everywhere.
Very special interview today. Do you want to introduce yourself and where you're from?
Absolutely. My name is Laura Brennan, and I'm from the Oklahoma Center for Poison and Drug Information.
What is the Center of Poison and Drug Information?
The Center for Poison and Drug Information, you may know it as something that was historically called poison control. And a lot of people are familiar with poison control because you might have called that 1-800 number sometime in your life. Maybe a child got into something or somebody, tell the truth. Did anybody ever called because you did something when you were a kid? Or
I definitely had it called because of me eating some glue when I was a kid.
There you go. So that's the kind of thing.
My bad.
Those are the kind of things that people, you know, historically call about. I mean, I remember being a kid and climbing on the cabinet at my grandma's house and eating a whole bottle of vitamins, for example. Well, they call that helpline number. But now it's a little different. We're not called poison control anymore. And it's a number, again, the same poison helpline number, but people can call with questions. They call about medications, things going on with pain medicine. You know, we're in the opioid epidemic, and all kinds of other things. So the Poison Center is kind of what we call it for short, and we've been around for a long, long time. That 1-800-222-1222 is the number that, again, been around a long, long time, but now you can call with questions. It's not just about little kids and an emergency. So there are pharmacists, nurses, and toxicologists that are there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and they can take your call for free. So, I mean, essentially you have a pharmacist for free at your fingertips 24 hours a day.
That's pretty awesome. So yeah. If that number that you gave out, if somebody were to get poisoned around us or we don't know what to do, we can call that number?
Exactly. Anything from, again, like you historically think of it, where a child might have, you know, gotten into something, or maybe you didn't feel right. You went to the doctor, you got a new prescription. Now it's 2 days later and 3 a.m, and you're not thinking, you know, feeling just right. Maybe you're having a drug interaction, or maybe you accidentally took your medicine twice. We've all, you know, maybe done that. Yeah. Well, you can call and ask someone what to do for a drug interaction or all kinds of other things. So, you know, 87% of the calls that we get, we can manage right at the house. So people aren't going to the emergency room.
That's saving a lot of money.
It's saving a lot of money. I mean, just last year we saved about $14 million in unneeded trips to the emergency room.
That's amazing.
It's a lot. Yeah, that's a lot of money.
Okay, so I know I work with a lot of people that do not speak English. So if I don't speak English and I wanted to call the hotline, do you guys have anybody there that speaks a different language?
What we have is a service, and we can take calls in over 150 different languages through that service. So that way anyone can call. And, you know, we follow the same HIPAA guidelines and privacy and confidentiality that your hospital or your doctor would follow. So it's safe to call. People don't have to worry about that they're going to be in trouble for something.
That's good. That's good to know for sure.
Yeah.
What should you expect when you do call?
Well, when you call, it depends on the type of call. But let's say it's a call where someone has gotten into something. Maybe you were working out in your yard and you were spraying for, you know, some kind of pesticide and it got in your eye. Or maybe you were cleaning and a product got on your skin. So depending on the type of call, they have to ask some questions. Of course, they need to know their name. They want to know your zip code. What is the age of the person who they're calling about? If you can bring that product with you to the phone, it helps the specialists out a lot because they can read on, you know, they might ask you, does it have this ingredient or this one? You know, those kind of things. The dose, the concentration, maybe the amount that's missing. Like, you know, I've come into the kitchen and my child was under the cabinet with this. And well, how much do you think was in that bottle? Or how much do you think they've ingested? So there's some different kinds of questions they need to ask.
Yeah, absolutely makes sense, for sure. So what are some of the type of calls that you guys receive?
Chemicals, things from the home and the work environment. We get a lot of calls from businesses. We get calls on plants, as I said, pesticides, prescription medicine, over-the-counter medicine, vitamins, herbal supplements. All kinds of things. I mean, to think about anything that could be poisonous, A lot of things. You know, a lot of things, if they're used improperly, could be harmful. Think about the common way someone might be poisoned. It could be that they've inhaled something. And I mentioned, you know, maybe spraying something in the yard. Could be through the skin. Maybe someone is vaping and they're filling a liquid vape and the vaping oil, the liquid nicotine, pours onto the skin. Well, that's absorbed right through the skin. And so then, boom, it's like you just smoked a lot of cigarettes, you know? Or it could be a puncture, it could be a bite, a sting. You know, there's many ways that someone could potentially be poisoned.
Then how many calls do you all get?
Well, see, just last year we took about 37,000 phone calls. And that's actually down from last year and the year before. One thing that's interesting is in the last few years, those calls have consistently gone down a little bit. And we know that some of that is because, well, the birth rate's lower than it's ever been. So there's less small kids getting into things. But a majority of that, those calls go down because people, unfortunately, when something happens, they grab for their phone and they might ask their friends on Facebook what to do, or they might Google my kid just ate something, you know. So we know that's why some of our calls have gone down. But 37,000 calls is still a lot of calls that we've taken in the last few years. Last year. And last year, about 5,000 of those, maybe 6,000 of those, were informational calls, people asking questions about things to prevent a poisoning.
Yeah, it's definitely understandable. So being around so many things that are poisonous that could, you know, make us want to call. I know medication's a big deal.
Yeah.
Kids, especially in high school age, kids are bringing home their parents' medication and they're doing things they shouldn't be doing.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden we need to call the hotline. So what are some things you think we need to know about medication safety?
Well, there's a few things we need to know about medication safety. The first is there's three things that we think about, which is safe use, safe disposal, and safe storage. Those are the three things. If you can follow those three, then you're preventing a lot of things from happening. You know, safe use. Are you taking it as you're supposed to? Are you following the directions? Because sometimes people, they don't.
Right.
They just think, well, if one made me feel better, maybe even more, you know. So safe use, which is, you think that, you laugh, but it does happen. Safe storage. Are they located in a safe place? We call it up and away. That's our little, you know, phrase that we use.
I like that.
Are they up and away from a child? Are they up and away? Maybe you have a senior who has dementia. Maybe they have some memory loss. Are they up and away from someone, maybe in your household, or maybe someone who comes into your home? Could be a friend or the neighbor kid, you know, cousin next door, whatever.
Right.
Somebody who you might think has a drug issue. Are they stored properly? Is kind of where I'm going with that. And then safe disposal is so important. Are we taking our old, our used, our unwanted medicines and safely disposing of them? We want to take care of our environment. We don't want to flush medicine down the toilet like we used to. You know, people would just flush things, open the trash can. Well, again, we want to be safe to keep the water safe. And then what if you threw a bunch of old pills in the trash and then somehow it got knocked over and now they're laying in the street and a child got into them? So we promote using what we call drop boxes. I don't know if you guys have heard of those. There are located all over the city. I think there's, maybe 15 of them just in Oklahoma County.
Oh, wow.
Where you can walk in to the lobby of many of our police stations, and there's a box that looks like a mailbox, you know, like the blue mailbox that you see at the post office. And it's in the lobby, and you take your old medications, leave them in the bottles, put them all in a sack of some sort, and you just put them in there. Those medicines are then taken to a place in Tulsa where they're recycled into renewable energy.
Wow.
So it's a win-win. Yeah. Now, some people said, I'm not going into the police station lobby, Laura. I don't go to the police station. And I understand that. So there's also a number of pharmacies around the city that has disposal boxes as well. They're located in different, you know, locations. If you don't know of one, you can call us and ask if you don't know of one near you. And if you're anywhere in the state of Oklahoma, this isn't just for Oklahoma County, if you go to the Bureau of Narcotics website and you put in your zip code, you can find a box near you. Now, you can't put liquids.
What is this website? Here?
The OBN, the Bureau of Narcotics.
Gotcha.
It's OBN.gov, I'm thinking. you can go into a Google search. Where can I dispose of medicine in Oklahoma? I'm sure you can get through it that way. And we'll put it up on our website too for oklahomapoison.org. You may be in a rural part of the state, but even out in those areas, the sheriff's offices have the drop boxes as well. But they don't take liquids.
Okay.
They don't take inhalers. They don't take, old, maybe you had a medicated lotion, things that are liquid like that. It needs to be actual prescriptions. I mentioned keeping them in the bag. We were having an event where people could come and bring old medicine to dispose of, and we were having a partnership with the Bureau of Narcotics to collect the medicine, and a lady came, she had taken all her old pills and just poured them in a bag. What if she would have gotten pulled over on the way there? So you want to leave them in the bottles, they'll recycle those as well. So
that's good.
Yes, so safe use, safe storage, and safe disposal are, kind of the start to that, to think about those kind of things. So you mentioned about calls to the helpline. One of the things I wanted to mention on that was, if you look at the top reasons, like what are people calling about, the most, but if you really look at the numbers, and this is for last year or the year before, it's always kind of consistent that pain medications, whether it's prescription or over the counter, and household cleaners and cosmetics products are the top three poison calls that we get. And that's reflective all over the country. So
we are living in the opioid epidemic. What exactly is an opioid?
An opioid, well, people think of opioids, they may not know what that word actually means. They might have kind of heard of some of that. I don't know. Do you think most people know about what opioids are?
I feel like everyone does.
At this point?
Yes.
At this point.
Yeah. Well, we're talking about pain medications. Opioids is a class of drugs used to reduce pain. And so we're talking about pain medicine. It could be prescriptions, things like hydrocodone, oxycodone, those kind of things. Right. Or it could be a synthetic, like fentanyl, a synthetic pain reliever, or illegal, something heroin. All of those fall in the category of opioids. But what's happened in Oklahoma, as many other states, is the addiction to pain medications has just skyrocketed.
So what is the scope of this addiction and overdosing, the pain medication?
Well, it's unfortunate. I mean, just last year in the United States, about 63,000 people died from pain medications.
Wow.
And if you look at that, it's more than, more than car crashes, more than the, more than all of the other things that we kind of think of as these leading causes of death. I mean, it has skyrocketed. So
I heard that the opioid addiction is worse than the crack epidemic ever was.
I don't have any numbers on that, but I'm sure it's
up there.
The deaths are just, yeah.
It's easy to believe.
It's easy to believe that, but I don't have the exact numbers on that.
I know you have the statistics of them.
I did have some things I wanted to make sure and share with everybody. I mean, I don't want to just talk about statistics. That's not
fun.
As interesting. But, it is unreal. The burden of it on public health is astronomical. Just in 2016, more than 46 people died every day from overdose involving prescription drugs statewide. It's 4 out of 5 unintentional poisoning deaths in Oklahoma involve at least one prescription opioid. We all know someone, and here's the deal. Part of my job is I travel the entire state. I go to all 77 counties, and I talk to people about safe use and safe storage and poison prevention. And I'm going to tell you, it could be as big as Oklahoma County or some little tiny place somewhere in the state. But every time I go and do a presentation or training, someone comes up to me and says, I know someone. I have a family member who passed away, or I have someone who was incarcerated, and it's just, it's all walks of life. It's affected people of all across the state,
So I know there's some misconceptions about overdosing. Can you tell us what some signs of an overdose?
Yeah, one of the things I've learned in when I've been out across the state, especially talking to younger people, like I'm talking like that 15 to 22 year old,
right.
They don't really know what to look for if something was to happen. I know that they might know to call 911 if someone's not breathing, but they don't know what the signs are. They know that their friends take pain pills. They know that people share medicines, right, and they might steal them from people to get high and those kind of things. But, you know, the signs may look different than someone who's maybe overdosed with alcohol or something like that. So you want to look for dilated pupils, an unsteady walking, kind of that rocking a little bit. Yeah, chest pain, possibly. No response. If someone has fallen, they're on the couch or on the floor, and you're concerned if maybe they've overdosed, and you're shaking them hard. You know, you're calling their name, but they're still not responding to you. Even if you rub their chest really hard and they're not responding, that's a sign. Blue lips, fingers, gurgling and snoring type noises. You know, those are things you want to call 911. You want to find out what's going on, because we now know there is a product. It's called Naloxone. I don't know if you've ever heard of that.
No, ma'am.
That is available, and it's available free in a lot of places. That you can. It looks like a nasal spray, and if someone is overdosed on a pain medication or an opioid, you can squirt that in their nose, and it can revive them.
Oh, wow!
And so it's saving lives.
How effective?
It's very, very effective.
Where can you find this at?
You can go to takeasprescribed.org. That is a website ran through the Department of Mental Health through the state of Oklahoma. And there's places where you can for free get one. If you have a friend or a family member who takes a lot of pain medication, maybe you're not necessarily thinking they're going to overdose, but you know, maybe sometimes they take more than their prescription says, and or you know someone who has a problem. You can have that product, and all of our law enforcement and first responders now are trained and carry that product. And it's safe. You could squirt it in a dog's nose, a child's nose. It's not going to hurt you if you're not on an opioid. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
What if somebody was overdosing on a different product, something, a different kind of medicine like Xanax or something like that? It's not going to revive them, but it's not going to hurt them. Does that make sense?
Gotcha.
And
I think that's great.
Yes. The product is called Naloxone, and at Take Is Prescribed, you can, .org, you can learn more about it. There's a map on that website where you can find out where these products are available, where you can get them. I know a lot of the mental health centers have them, a lot of treatment centers have them, and you walk in. They don't ask a lot of questions. There's a few, of course, because there's paperwork, and they'll give you the product, and you can have it. And they do sell it at without a prescription. You can buy it at pharmacies now, because but a lot of people want to get it, you know, for free. But you can purchase it as well and have it in case that happens. Just, you know, think of all the people we've lost in the opioid epidemic thus far. If someone in that house might have had that product, it could revive them enough to get help there. They may not be completely revived. And so that when that product is administered, it kind of wipes away the opioids from the receptors. So they may come out very hostile. Their high just, you know,
completely went away.
So you still want to, obviously, you want to call 911 and get help there. And then they may have to be revived again. So, but it can save lives.
Absolutely.
Does that make sense?
Yes,
you know,
perfect.
It's just, it's not gonna, you know, just administer it and it's all over, is what I'm trying to explain.
Yeah.
You know, you still need to follow up, but it can definitely save lives. I mentioned that when I met you at UCO. Can I talk about that for a minute?
Go for it.
You know, we were at UCO and we had an event there last week. We had about 160 students show up, which was fantastic. They wanted to hear what's happening with poisonings and poison prevention. They wanted to hear what's happening with the opioid epidemic. One of the speakers on our panel was Gail Box, and she's the mother of the OU football player Austin Box, who passed away a few years ago. And she talked about that product. What if where he was that day, they would have had that product, you know? So it's I'm glad to work with folks like her and to be able to share that, so the whole room of students were able to hear about, you know, products like this and calling the poison helpline. Now I've administered it and I don't know what to do. Maybe someone might be scared, because are they going to be in trouble? you know, those kind of things. So, or they've got the product, but they're not quite sure. I mean, the directions are very clear. You open it and you squeeze it in their nose, but you can call and ask questions to our pharmacist at the Poison Center while you're doing that. So it was a great day to interact with all those students at ECO and to hear their thoughts on this, and they're hearing the messages. They know that this epidemic is widespread, and you know, they know people who are using these things and combining them. That's the other thing. People don't just use a product like that or a drug just that one. You know what I mean? There's always, are they also taking Xanax? Are they also taking muscle relaxers? Are they drinking with these medications?
And that's the worst.
And that's what happens. And maybe it's not an overdose where they need a product like the naloxone, but maybe they've just taken too many of some kind of a prescription drug, and they've mixed it with alcohol. Again, you can call the poison helpline number, the 1-800 number, and ask questions so that folks know what to do. Of course, but if not, they're not breathing, we want to call 911.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Is there anything else we can do to help, just personally, people listening, to help the opioid epidemic? Anywhere to donate?
Well, not really donate, but there's things you can do to get involved. Obviously, go to a website like takeisprescribed.org. That's the one through the Department of Mental Health, as I said. There's a lot of resources on there. Maybe you know someone who needs help with some kind of a treatment program. Maybe you have a group that needs some kind of a training about the naloxone product or where to get things. So that's a good resource. And there's, all over the state, there are coalitions now that are groups of folks that are working on these issues. They're working on solutions in their own communities. You know, they're community-driven.
That's exactly what we need.
Yeah, and for example, here in Oklahoma County, I know of two of them here in Oklahoma County that are working on those kind of solutions. They have a group called the Substance Use Prevention Alliance. They're here locally. They work with that 25 and younger population. And then there's another one that's called the Care Coalition, and they work with 25 and older and looking at what's happened. And these are just two of them. I mean, there's some all over the state of Oklahoma and all over the country. I mean, there has been tons of coalitions that have popped up, and wherever you are, you can probably Google that and find other people working on those solutions, because it's affected a lot of people. It's very widespread.
This was awesome.
Oh, okay. Well, good. I was glad to be here, and I appreciate you guys letting me come. Is there one more thing I wanted to mention, if it's okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Well, I wanted to mention, you may have, like I said, the poison number's been around a long time. Anybody ever had one of the magnets on their fridge
Yes.
when they were a kid? Or a sticker on their phone with the poison helpline number? But what we want people to do now is just put the number in your phone. So you have it everywhere you go. You're in the park, and maybe your friend gets stung by or bit by a spider. Well, you can call and ask what to do. Maybe you're, babysitting someone's kids and something happens, or something happens to you. Like I said, you have the number right in your phone. You can text the word poison to 797979, and it will automatically put the contact in your phone. Or you can just go straight in and add the 1-800-222-1222 in your contacts, but you can text the number poison to 797979. We like people to have the number in their phone so they have it everywhere you go. I mean, I know that magnet's been around forever, but you may not be at home looking at the magnet on your fridge, what I'm saying?
Might be freaking out.
Exactly. You're not thinking clearly, and you've got the number right there. You could be partying with your friends somewhere, or just something innocent could happen where you're working on the car and a product splashes in your eye. Anything could happen where you might need to call. And if you call, like say you're working on your car and something splashed in your eye, they might say, okay, here's how to properly wash your eye out, or here's the steps to take, or you need to get to the hospital. I mean, they're going to give you those steps. If you have to go to the hospital, if they need you to, they'll say, what's the closest hospital? You'll tell them, like, we're gonna go ahead and send some information over to the hospital. So once you get there, they'll have some guidelines on how to treat you. And so we follow up. And even an hour later, we're gonna call you back. Hey, you called about your 5-year-old who got into your vaping oil, for example. We mentioned, you know, vaping oil, and we're calling you back to check on you. Laundry pods. There's so many things, you know. So
shows that you guys really, really care.
Well, we do care. We our job is saving lives, and again, we're saving lots of money and untreated trips to the emergency room. But you know, 21% of all of our calls are actually medical professionals.
Wow.
Who call us.
That's pretty awesome.
So that's like IMSA, firefighters, ER docs, nurses at a rural hospital. I mean, you name it. If 20% of those folks are calling us, because they know that our pharmacists, nurses, and toxicologists, that's their job, to stay on top of the latest products and the latest treatment guidelines. Think of all the millions of products out there and the guidelines you might need to treat those poisonings. So
awesome. You guys stay updated on them?
We stay updated on all of it.
Yeah, that's amazing. I'm very, very happy we had you on here to talk about this.
I'm
a very
glad
important
to come.
Issue, sure.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Well, do you have a favorite quote? That's what we always like to end on.
A favorite quote?
Or just a quote in general.
It doesn't have anything to do with poisonings. No. That's okay.
It's all good.
I don't know if it's a quote. It's something I saw, it's been 20 years ago, but it said, Dorothy had the shoes, but she didn't have the vision. And I always think that we need to have a bigger vision.
I like that.
You like that one?
I do.
We appreciate your vision.
Thank
sharing
you.
Sharing it with us.
Okay. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
We're out.
Stay positive.